chapter 5. Any more blue cards that need to be handed in? Any more blue cards? We've got one right behind there, Mark. We'll add that one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And again, it's a short verse, and we'll get to it here in just a minute. Last week, I mentioned a man that I met in the church parking lot. If you were here, you remember this illustration. He has a ministry of ministering to pastors, and I don't know if he's employed by the Southern Baptist Convention, but he is working in that group of churches. And he asked me, he said, did you know that last year there were 800 Southern Baptist churches that closed? Now, again, I was shocked by that. And I didn't ask him what the root cause of that. I'm sure some of that was due to pastoral failure. Some of it may have just been the church just got so small they couldn't stay open anymore. But I would guarantee that some of it was caused by church conflict. Somebody in the church didn't like what somebody else in the church was doing. The church had to make a decision. Some didn't like it. And so you had the, hey, I want to do it this way on one side of the auditorium, and I want to do it this way on the other side of the auditorium. Or you had a member that got upset with another member. You'll stay awake this morning. I tell you what, that's strong, isn't it? And they started getting people on their side, and before long you had all kinds of conflict and problems. Often we'll have new people come to visit our church who live in this area, have lived here for some time, and they say our church is just torn apart by strife and difficulty, and we just can't take it anymore. Now, as far as I know, of course, the pastoral staff typically were the last ones to know what's going on in the church, unless they put it on Facebook and my daughter in Florida sees it and lets me know. As far as I know, we don't have any of that going on in our church. God is blessing our church. And this is really not in my notes, but I'm so excited about what God is doing at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And folks, we should not take it for granted. We have new people coming almost every Sunday. We have people getting saved almost every Sunday. The church is growing. God is blessing. We're having to build new parking lots because of all the vehicles. That's exciting. But you know what? All it takes is one disgruntled church member who gets mad at somebody else. They get mad because they didn't get to do what they wanted to do and somebody else got it. Or they didn't get the honor they thought they deserved for doing something. And boy, it starts to build. And they start talking to somebody and they start talking to somebody else. And before long, the church is in turmoil. And I tell you what, you say, yeah, but Wim, we're running 600. And I mentioned last week there's a church in Bristol, Tennessee that was running a whole lot more than that, and the doors today are empty or closed. That church is empty. It may be a different church, I don't know. Folks, the devil may not be able to destroy our church from the outside, but if he gets in the inside, he can tear this thing all apart. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 26, Paul gives us the cure for a divided church. He really does. And here's the verse. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. You say, Seaman, you've got to be joking. Surely we're not going to start doing that now. Well, let me talk to you first of all about the first century demonstration of love. This was how they showed each other that they loved each other. Now, again, notice, greet how many of the brethren? All the brethren with a holy kiss. Now, obviously, many of you this morning, as you came in, you said hello, you said hi. Maybe you shook somebody's hand. I don't know that I saw anybody give someone else a hug. It's possible that that may have happened. I didn't see it this morning. But in that day, the way they didn't come up and say hello. They didn't come up and shake hands. They would give each other a kiss on the cheek, typically, not always, but it was always between the same sexes. It was the men who were giving the men a kiss. And again, I, in this day and age, don't think about what you're thinking about. And now that I've said it, there's no way you can not think about it. But It was the men who were kissing the men on the cheek and the women doing the same to each other. It was not sensual. It was a holy kiss. It was holy. There was nothing sensual about it. Now, there are some cultures this still goes on today. I still remember Preacher Lashley talking about it. I think it was either Russia or Belarus. And he said these guys would come up to him and they would want to kiss him. And in that place, they did it on the lips. And he said, I would plant my feet and stick my hand out. He said, it just wasn't going to happen. Well, it's interesting in this passage, though, that this was to take place between everybody. There are troublemakers in church. That's all right. They take part. Everybody was to take part in this. This was a mutual demonstration of love for each other. Now, it's interesting. He's not telling them, you need to love each other. Now, the reason for that is because in this book, we already know they did. Let me give you those verses. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, he says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love. Now, that's kind of generic. But in chapter 3 and verse 6, it says that Timothy has brought good tidings of your faith and charity. And then really specific now in chapter 4 and verse 9, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Look, this was their physical expression of love. They were showing each other that they cared for each other, that they loved each other in a physical, demonstrable way. Now, I'm going to take a rabbit trail here just for a minute. Believers, it is important for us today that we let other believers know that we love them and that we care about them. It really is important. And here's the rabbit trail. As important as it is in the church, it's even more important in your home. You say, well, she ought to know I love her. I work 40 or 50, 60 hours a week, and I bring home the paycheck, or it's directly deposited, so she gets it even before I see it. And, you know, I mean, surely she knows that I love her. Gentlemen, if you work outside the home, you should never leave your house without telling your wife, I love you. And hallelujah, you don't have to worry about the holy kiss. Give her that sensual kiss. You know, you're married, you know. Help you. And by the way, in marriage, it is holy, so it's okay. Hey, let me encourage you. And I'm going to talk to the men, because I be one, okay? Gentlemen, I hope that your wife cannot say there was not one time this week that my husband said I love you. Well, she ought to know. You need to tell her. You need to tell her. And I make it a practice every time I leave in the morning on my way to work. I stop and my wife's at the table usually reading her Bible, having devotions. And I tell her I love her and I give her a kiss. I need to do the same when I leave for lunch if she's there. And if I come back to the church at night, I do the same thing. And folks, it's important in your marriage that you demonstrate your love in a physical way. Okay? Now, you may not need the rest of the lesson. Maybe that's what your home needs. Okay? All right. Now, it's interesting. We don't do what this passage says to do anymore, and it was actually just discontinued about in the 13th century. And the reason it was discontinued is because it ceased to become holy. And the men started kissing the women, and the women started kissing the men, and hallelujah, you got trouble. Okay? And so they quit doing it. But you understand why they did it. They were demonstrating their love, the fact that they cared about each other, their love for each other. They were demonstrating in a very physical way, a very real way. Now, what about the 21st century demonstration of love? Do you realize that one of the greatest duties you have to each other is to love one another? You see, we say, well, you know, we know they're a believer. Well, let me just throw this out to you. When you see someone or you know someone and we say, well, are they a Christian? Typically we'll say, yes, they are because what? They go to church. Yeah, that was my number one. Number one, they go to church. They must be a Christian. What else? They're good. They live a good life. Okay, what else? They what? They help people. Good. Hey, let me ask you a question. Can you go to church and be good and help people and not be a believer? Sure. It's interesting, in the Word of God, what is the test the Word of God gives? Let me give you John 13, 35. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if your hair is not over your ears on the men. Right? If the women dress modestly, by the way, I'm not against any of these things, but you can do all those things and not be a believer. He said, if you love one another. If you love one another. Now, I want you to turn to 1 John. Why was 1 John written? Now, sometimes we hear preachers preach this passage, and they really preach it backwards. And they preach it to help you see you're not saved. Why was the book given? 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that ye may know that you have eternal life. He said, look, I'm going to give you some tests in your life to show you if you're really a believer. And it's amazing, folks. I'm just going to kind of go through this and read as quickly as I can. Start in chapter 2, verse 9. Chapter 2, verse 9. He that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and know not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Wow! He say, here's a test to see if you're a true believer. Do you love the brother? Now let me just, if you're sitting here this morning at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and you have hatred in your heart towards someone, especially a brother or sister in Christ, he says, you're not walking in the light. I mean, it's that serious, folks. Now, that's just the first verse. Let me go on. Chapter 3, verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest. Okay, they're made known, and the children of the devil. All right? Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Look. Neither he that loveth not his brother. That is pretty strong, isn't it? Look down at verse 14 of chapter 3. We know that we have passed from death unto life. We know we're believers because we love the brethren. I hope you're getting it here. Look in chapter 3, verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now, I was going to read chapter 4. I'm not going to for sake of time. But hallelujah, folks. You, when you have time, go home, read verse 7 through 21. I'll just give you the highlights. In my Bible, I have highlighted every time it says love, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25 times in that passage the word love is used. Can there be any doubt, folks, that true believers love each other? And if your heart is full of hatred or animosity towards someone, he's saying you need to check up and make sure you're a child of God. That's how serious this matter is. In verse 7 of that chapter, beloved, let us love one another. In verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God. He said, if you don't love, you don't know God. Why? Because God is love. I tell you, folks, it's all throughout this passage. Verse 11, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. In verse 12, no man hath seen God any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Wow. But look, the mark of a true believer is that they love the brethren. Now, I just want you to stop and think in your mind right now, do you love the brethren? Or are there people, maybe at our church or other believers that you know, that you just hate their guts? Well, you say, Gary, if you knew what they did to me, you'd understand why I hate them. Look, is it ever right for a Christian to have hatred in their heart? Well, maybe for sin, for the devil. Let me rephrase the question. Is it ever right for a believer to have hatred in their heart toward other believers? Now, John says, look, folks, I just want you to realize one of the signs that you're a believer, and he goes through this, I don't know, 8, 10, 12 times, is that you love the brethren. Now, I can use my family also as an illustration. You may not be able to because maybe your family doesn't have unity, but I have 4 brothers and sisters. I have a brother out in Southern California, the land of fruits and nuts, and he's pastoring a church there, bless his heart. I have a sister who's a missionary in New Guinea. Right now she's home in South Carolina. I have a sister in Greenville, South Carolina, whose husband is an assistant pastor of church there. I have a brother in Ohio, and it seems like I guess that's all of them. And I just be honest with you, we just have a great time together. And now, by the way, I can criticize my brother, but you better not, because he's my brother. Okay. I can tell you he's in the land of fruits and nuts, but you can't say that. See? Hey, if you're saved, Mark, have you been born again? I hope. If you say no, we can deal with that right now. But sure he is. He was saved probably here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. He's one of the few guys who spent his whole life at Buffalo. Well, that's not really true. You left and went to Spartanburg for a while, but you've probably been a member here your whole life. But he was saved in an early age. He's my brother. Now, we have different last names. We have different mothers, but we have the same father spiritually. Okay? Now, Rachel, you may find this hard to believe, but you're related to me too. Everybody's got to have the weird uncle, you know? I've been looking for my rich uncle, never have found him, but if you're a child of God, hallelujah, folks, we're in the same family. And we are to love the brothers and sisters. Look, this is the common thing in Christianity, but you know what? It's also commanded. Let me give you a couple of these. John 15, 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another. Now listen, listen, as I have loved you. Now, earlier I said, but Gary, you say, if you knew what they did to me. Wait a minute. God says, you love like I love you. What have you done to him? Let me ask you a question. Has anybody been worse to you than you have been to God? I mean, think about what Jesus Christ did for you and what he's forgiven you of. And he said, now that's how I want you to love. I want you to love that way. In John 13, 34, it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And then, of course, I already gave you 1 Thessalonians 4, 9. Let me give you one more. 1 Peter 4, 8. And above all things. Now, he's saying above all things. Okay, so this is really important. Okay. Above all things, have fervent charity, that's the word for love, among yourselves. Listen, listen. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Now, I love my wife. And my wife loves me. She better. Now, because of that, we've been married, goodness, 32 years now. Now, the reason we've stayed married is because I've always treated my wife right. Right? If you believe that, I've got some swamp land in Florida I'd love to sell you. No, that's not the reason. The reason is because my wife loves me. And when you love someone, you have all those things in 1 Corinthians 13, that long suffering. You put up with a lot. And if you really love somebody, you'll say, you know what? Because I love them, you know, yeah, they did something they shouldn't have done. By the way, if you're in the church very long, at some point, someone's going to hurt you. Because people are still, now we're saved people, but we're still people. Someone's not going to say, you know, someone's going to say, boy, that sidewalk out there is crooked, and I don't know who put that in, but that is nasty. Joking. It's a beautiful sidewalk, buddy. You did a fine job. It's gorgeous. Someone's going to, you know, you're going to do something in the church And you're going to sacrifice, and it's going to be great. And no one's going to come and say, David, you are my hero. You did such a great... No one's going to do that. And you're going to say, what? Now look, love covers a multitude of sins. And because we love each other, we say, you know, they didn't shake my hand, but hey, I'm sure they were busy. They had something they were doing. You know, it's no big deal. Or they didn't give me the recognition, or I didn't get to do what I wanted to do, but that's okay. I love them, and it's okay. It's all right. And again, by the way, that's what keeps a church together. That's what keeps a marriage together, too. And by, boy, I just got so many rabbit trails here. Look, if you've got bitterness in your heart toward your mate, the problem is a lack of love, not what they did to you. And I'll just be honest with you, folks. You need to forgive them. You need to forgive them. If you have bitterness at the root of your marriage, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And if we have bitterness in the church, Jeff, if there's one person, now you're relatively new in our church, you haven't had a chance to get hurt yet, except he played golf with me in the golf tournament, and he almost got hurt several times, but he stood between me and the hole. Or he, you know, if he stood between me and the hole, you would have been safe, but he stood over the side, and that is dangerous. But probably at some point, someone's going to hurt you. No one's going to say, well, Jeff, you ride bus 10. You are awesome. Now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? By the way, if you're doing something for the Lord so that people will pat you on the back, you got the wrong motivation anyway, okay? Now, when someone hurts you, are you going to love them and say, hey, it's okay. It's all right. I love you, man. It's all right. It's good. Or are you going to go, did you see what he did to me? That Jeff Kruska. And see, I'm going to get my team. Did you? Hey, if you got a minute, let me just tell you. Okay. And Jeff does the same thing. Before long, we got trouble. Now, what kind of love is this? Is it this kind of liberal, sensual, we love everybody, you know, they hug the trees, we just kind of, you know, everybody's sweet, man, and we just love everybody, you know, and that kind of that hippie love, you know, and is that what it's talking about? You know, and I see David Martin, can you imagine this, David? David, buddy, I love you, buddy, man. And he'd probably hit me, you know, run me over with his truck. That's not what it's talking about. Listen to this kind of love. Here it is in 1 John 3, 16 and 17. And I've already given to this part of this, but hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. Now he said, look, you love others like I loved you. What did he do for you? He laid down his life for you. That's the kind of love he's talking about. A sacrificial love, not this mushy, sentimental, crazy stuff. Now, how do we demonstrate our love? Let me give you three things and I'm done. Number one, by word. By word. As most of you know, some of you give me a hard time because I was not raised in the South. I just realized the other day, I was raised in Southern Idaho. You know? But I remember, what was this place down here, the Pug had the food, was it called Gray Food? Or what? Gray Food Center. Early in my time here, I went to check out, and the lady who I never met in my life had no idea who she was, said, thank you, honey. Said, I don't even know you. And I had somebody this week, I don't know where I was, and she said, thank you, sweetheart. And I still, after 30 years, it's still kind of a shock to my system. Shirley Crumb is in heaven now. Several years ago, Shirley Crumb said to me, I love you. I said, well, I'm married. I'll just be honest with you. It was just kind of a shock to my system. And you've got to be careful. I mean, Shirley is probably 20 or 30 years older than I am. But you know what, believers? What's wrong with telling another believer, especially if it's a guy to a guy? I mean, you got to be careful. I can't go to a lady who's my age and say, hey, I just want you to know I love you. You know, her husband's going to kill me, you know. But What's wrong with a man saying, hey, Mark, man, I appreciate you, buddy. I just want you to know I love you in the Lord. What's wrong with that?
So you don't do the kids part.
Yeah, I know. Mark was going like this. You're not getting close to me, buddy. He said, as long as there's no kiss, it's okay. What's wrong with a lady, a Christian lady, going to another lady and giving her a hug and saying, hey, I just want you to know, I know you're going through a trial, and I just want you to know I love you, and I'm praying for you. What's wrong with that? Now, you know, we're men. And we just don't do those kinds of things. But what's wrong with telling somebody you appreciate them and you're thankful to the Lord for what they're doing and for who they are? What's wrong with that? I think we need to be more verbal. Now again, you got to be careful. You know, some of you men who are 35 and or 40, and you say, "Well, I'm going to go to all the women in the church that are 40 and tell them I love them." Now, that, you know, use your brain. Yes, ma'am. Right. Sure. Good. You're exactly right. You know what? If I've got something against Mark, I'm not going to go and say, hey, I love you, man. I'm not going to shake his hand. In fact, I'm sitting the opposite of the church. You weirdo. Can't believe what you did to me. I'm sitting over here. I don't just care about you. You know, but boy, I tell you what now. Look, sisters and brothers, if you sit on one side of the church because somebody else is in our church and they sit in it, hallelujah, you need to get your heart right with God. Well, that good testimony. So we demonstrate our love by word. And again, I think by touch. Now, again, you've got to be wise. I heard several years ago about a choir director. And the choir would come out of the choir loft. He would hug all the women. Now, that did not end well. And I've heard of pastors who hug all the women. And, of course, Preacher Lassie used to say they only hug the good-looking ones. You know, they shun the ugly ones. All the good-looking ladies line up over here. You can hug the preacher. All the ugly ones, you can hug the assistant pastor. And look, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to realize that a man should not be hugging women unless he's married to them or related to them. Okay, and there are men sometimes at church and do that, and I would discourage it strongly. Okay, but I just feel like between the women, between the men, just like they did in this passage, you know. Yesterday in prayer meeting, Bennett Woodard gave a testimony. It was just, I mean, boy, it was just, he was just torn. It was just from his heart about Joyce and everything. And I'll be honest with you, I was sitting a couple rows away, but I just wanted to go back and hug the guy. And Preacher Lassie was sitting in front of him. He just reached back and grabbed his hand. And what was he saying? I'm with you, man. I love you. You know, we're behind you. We appreciate you. Boy, how can that hurt the church? And then thirdly, and this is, you know, it's easy to say I love you, but we demonstrate it really by doing things, by our work. So we're speaking it, we're touching, physical. 1 John 3:18 says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And then in James chapter 2, he says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you saying to them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? What is he saying? You can go around and say, hey, Mark, I love you all the time. But when Mark has a need and you don't help him, you don't really love him. Wouldn't you like to go to a church that is full of people who are looking to other believers and looking for ways they can minister to them and help them. Wouldn't that be an awesome church to go to? Where we just love each other and we have a lot of that at Buffalo Ridge, but we could use more. I remember we moved Jim and Melina out there at Yuma. And how many folks showed up, Melina? Do you remember? 27 people showed up to help move. And by the way, people in the community said, "Where'd all those people come from? What a testimony. Oh, they're all from my church." That's how it ought to be. That's how it ought to be. Now, I am not going to start teaching that we need to be greeting each other with a holy kiss, so you can relax. But I am teaching that we have an obligation, a command of God, to love each other and to demonstrate that love to each other. And let me just encourage you today, as you look around our church body and see people, hey, why not give them an encouraging word? Man, appreciate your ministry. Boy, thank you for what you've done. If people work under you, some of you guys are bus captains. Let me encourage you. Tell your bus workers, hey, man, I really appreciate you. And I tell you what, we get back to church today, I'm buying pizza for all of you. See, not in word, but in deed. And by the way, if you do that, I'll be glad to ride your bus that day, okay? You know? Let's be a church that loves one another and demonstrates it and shows it. You say, well, I'll do that when somebody loves me. No. See, that's a selfish love. Selfish love is all about me. Me getting credit. Me getting to do something. Unselfish love is all about giving. It's all about giving. And by the way, it'll keep you out of the nut house too. If you just say, you know what? I'm here to minister to other people and I'm going to help people. It will. It'll get your mind off you and your own problems, and you'll be helping people, and boy, God will bless you. But hey, let me encourage you this week. Love the brethren. And this Bible, this word, and the cistern too, okay? Love the brothers and sisters in Christ. A cistern is where you have water, I know. All right. Lord, we thank you for this admonition from Scripture, and I pray that you would help us each individually to be people who love one another, to love the brethren, and that Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and the Victory Bible class would be full of people who love each other, who love God primarily, and then who love each other. Lord, never let the devil get in and cause dissension and get us to be bitter against one another. God, help us to love and to love and to love. May our church be a beacon to this community as a church where people love each other, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, by